Buongiorno. I didn't come up with a new one today, so
that actually
I heard Eddie's voice. Buongiorno.
I was going to say that's French, but I guess that's Italian. So it's March now, and we're rolling on.
Yeah, we had the old clock changeroo, and we actually came home to some daylight, which is pretty sweet.
Pretty unusual.
Well, that, you know what that means, Jamie, darling.
Riding soon in the evening.
Weeknight riding.
It does. I did think I could take my bike with me.
To where?
Well, then when I pick you up, I can pick you up an hour earlier and go and ride in the Don Valley that I love so much.
Where are you going to keep your bike at work?
You know, we need a van.
To where are you be going?
So we're going to do a bit of a bike review, which I'm supposed to have done for some many months now.
I feel like I've scolded Jamie enough times that now he's finally getting his act together.
Yeah, just about. If you're tuning in for mushroom content, sorry. But I'm going to do a little bit of a bike review on the Marin San Quentin 3. And it's the 2021 model, so we'll talk a little bit about why that's of interest and something I would like to try and hang on to as long as they don't ask for it back. So we'll see how that goes. But Jessica also has some foraging news, a little bit of foraging news at the end of this. Yeah, our little collection yesterday, which may or may not turn out to be successful.
Oh, we shall see.
I think we should mention it at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Always nice. You always love dangling a little carrot or leaving a little cliffhanger.
Well, you might all rush out and find some if we tell you what they are. And I'd like you to listen to this before you get your roller skates on.
How rude. All right, Jamie darling.
Yes.
So, what kind of a bike is this old Marin now?
Well, it's not old. Well, I guess it is old. It's 2021, based on some people changing their bikes every year. It's a hardtail.
Okay.
What?
Tell me again. What kind of bike is it?
It's a hardtail. It's actually classed as a hardcore hardtail.
Whoa, what does that even mean?
So it's the San Quentin is an over-engineered bike frame. So it has stronger, it's aluminium and it has stronger welds than your average hardtail. They built them for, I think they said moderate to small dirt jumps, but you get people riding them in Whistler down A-line and stuff. So they're not light and delicate, they're bulky and
robust?
Yeah, I would say so. Actually, based on our spare time of mushroom hunting, they're pretty good for that because you don't worry about leaning it up against a tree or laying it down on the ground. It doesn't have loads of things that are going to bend or break, like, willy-nilly. So.
Well, that's a good bike in my books. I'll take one.
Yours is actually similar.
Okay, good to know. Is mine a hardcore also? Do I have a hardcore scandal?
You do, actually. That is the scandal. It's the same. It's the same, classed as the same. Maybe not quite as dirt jumpy, but you're not as heavy as me, so you'll be fine.
Guess what, everybody? I ride a hardcore scandal.
It is a scandal.
Sounds like a great getaway line.
It does.
Anyway, back to business here. So, it's a Marin, and why do you like them?
Yeah, I've generally tried to only ever review bikes that I like or from brands that I respect or I think have something to offer that's interesting. And I've only ever really reviewed bikes that I've ridden for a long time as well. I don't think you can ride something for 2 weeks and then review it. I just don't think that's possible. So,
well, then I guess I'll take back a few of my scoldings then, because that's a pretty legit reason for maybe holding out so long.
Yeah.
Being able to give it a more proper, a more better test ride.
Yeah, and I would also say that riding a bike in the dusty, sunny summer you don't, for me, I don't get to know what they're about. It's only when the drivetrain's full of mud and it's raining and horrible and grimy that you actually realise if everything's going to work properly or not.
Well, just like my good friend Alan says, you got to do something for all four seasons.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. To properly test something out. So thank you, Alan, for that advice.
So, yeah, so that's, I think you'd need to ride it all the time to get a proper grip of what's going on with it. And then Marin, I have a bit of a soft spot for Marin because I had my first Marin in 1992 or 1993, not sure which year, can't quite remember, thanks to Shockwave, and in West Bridgeford in Nottingham. So if anybody's in England, they'll possibly remember Shockwave. And me and my friend at the time, Dean Bailey, both had the same... I don't know if he had the same. We both had the same year, anyway. And, yeah, they were both hardtails. Made out of chrome alloy, though, which is like a more like a steel than a true aluminium. So that was my very first Marin. And then since then, I've had... I worked it out the other day. I've had seven.
Whoa, lucky number seven.
Steel and aluminium, never carbon, and yeah, nothing ever flimsy. Always like fairly robust. And I think I've got a few people onto Marin as well as a result of that. So
it does seem to be a common theme of, or common quality in bikes that you talk about and bike brands that you talk about.
Yeah, and I think with Marin, unlike some of the other stuff I ride, they are good value and well built. And, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're not the best in the world, but they're robust and heavy, and, you know, they're manufactured in a certain way. But their main aim is getting people out on bikes on a bike that you can afford. And, you know, if you went out and bought this particular hardtail, living in Ontario, for example, I don't think there's anywhere you would not be able to ride it. So, would be my opinion.
Right on. I was going to try and crack a funny joke about the affordability, and I was going to say, fits the bill.
Yeah, it does. There you go.
Oh, I'm the worst joke maker ever. Well, so moving on. So why are you doing a test of this bike?
So, equally, from a long, 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 long time ago, not that long ago, I was editor on a cycling newspaper.
Ooh, what was the newspaper called?
It was called Pedal Your Cycle, and it was in the UK and England. And it was a idea a few of us had to create a advert-driven newspaper and website that went out to bike shops, that bike shops, cafes, hotels. It was like a touristy newspaper that would talk about things that were going on in the local area and push cycling. And our plan was, we were going to take the free giveaway model, which was based on the Metro, which is a newspaper that's in London on the Underground, which is ad-driven. So all the adverts pay for the newspaper, the passengers pick them up for free. And we thought if we got all the hotels, bars, coffee shops, bike shops to participate, then we could run a free newspaper and a website, and then we ran some events. And I think we did, I don't even know now, 10 issues, I think. If you search on the internet, you could find it.
Ooh, if you want to spy on Jamie.
Yeah, and so we did maybe 10 issues, and then we did, I think, 4 or 5 in Oxfordshire.
Cool.
The internet kind of took over. I was having some other stuff going on. There's a guy that was running the Oxford one. He carried on with it for a while. But I think if things had been different and timing had been different, we would have maybe set up a media channel like a GMBN back then. But we all had too many other things going on. It was a side hustle.
Side hustle.
Anyways, I have contacts at various bike companies as well as because of some other projects I've worked on, and every now and then I get approached, depending on what I'm doing, to see if I'd like to test something, and that's where this came along. This is the 2021 27.5 wheel version. There is now a 29 wheel version as well. If you went and bought one today, you'd have to specify which wheel size you wanted. So.
And I was just about to ask about its smaller wheels, because don't we normally ride 29s?
Yeah, so 29s generally are a bit like a monster truck, and you can tend to get over things. They can be a little bit tricky when it comes to tight corners, particularly on the other bike I ride, which is more of an enduro setup, so it's longer. So tight corners in places like Albion can be quite difficult on 29-inch wheels because the turning area is much greater. The reason that this one has 27.5, and the reason I was interested, is with a lot of the foraging we do, there's a lot of stop, start, get on, get off, and particularly, you know, riding when the weather's not so great, I don't really want to mess up a full suspension bike. But also, particularly being down here where we live near quarries in particular, those smaller wheels, when you're heavier like me, are a bit better because they're a bit wider, so there's a bit more cushion, so you don't damage the rims quite so easily. And if you remember the first time we went through Limestone Hill on my other bike, I tore the sidewall, if you remember.
Right.
Whereas the shape of the tyre on a slightly smaller but fatter tyre gives you a bit more ability to get over things. So, yeah.
Huh. I definitely learned something new there.
And a lot of the downhill racers now are riding something called a mullet, which is 29 up front, 27 at the back. And it's the 27 gives you more grip and width, and the 29 gives you the ability to ride over bigger obstacles. So,
I have a mullet. I like the way they roll.
On your head, you mean, not the bicycle?
Yes, on my head. Yeah. But maybe one day on my bicycle.
Maybe.
I didn't even know that was an option.
I, in fact, think your full suspension bike, when we get to that, will be probably a mullet. So
can it be a hardcore mullet?
It can be. We'll see. We'll get you a downhill.
Only extreme.
We'll get you a downhill bike and all the body armor that goes with it.
Okay. So, slightly dated geometry?
Yeah, so it's more... it's not completely, but it's more of a sit upright than a sit in it. So that's the other thing about 29-inch wheels, is that you feel like you're sat in the bicycle, whereas with 27 and the old 26s, you were sat on top of the bicycle. And it sounds funny, but if you actually think about it, you're, like, even your fat bike is 27.5, which is means that the actual tyre is 29 again.
Right.
And you're sat right inside it. You're not perched on top of it. Whereas the San Quentin is great for what it's made for, but you are, like, you are sat on top of it. Like, it's a different riding position. You're not sat behind the bars. You're kind of sat almost on top of them, yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying, which I would think is less good for foraging.
I don't know, it's less good
for
step
downs.
Hey,
you were the one who brought up the foraging.
But it don't really does depend what you're doing, because if you're doing, like, step-ups and, like, stop-starty stuff in that quarry, it's ideal for that. Whereas if you were going to go and ride, I don't know, Hiawatha, and you were going to go and do the Farmer Lake, the famous Farmer Lake, you want the 29 and the longer wheelbase, and you're covering a bit more distance with, you know, bigger features. You just want to roll over, so.
Right. I was a little bit just teasing with the, I was speaking from a viewpoint and spotting needles and haystacks kind of scenario. But that is not what we're talking about here. Back to business. Is this bike that you're, is it a stock bike?
Not really. I mean, it's more or less stock. The only things on it that aren't are the stem and the handlebars. So it has a Cro-Mag stem, and it has a set of raised face handlebars. The bars it came with were flimsy, to say the least, and narrower than I like. I like to ride 800s because I'm a hooligan. No, I'm bigger and taller, so I'm more comfortable on 780 to 800s. They were much narrower. The stem was flimsy, like the bars, you could feel them. When you're trying to pull it up to step up something, you could just feel they were fine, and they'd be fine. But you can feel the flex, so there's a race face Atlas bar on it, which is quite heavy duty. And then it came with a set of nuke-proof Neutron wheels. I think that they've come out of potentially going bankrupt, but that was a bit sad over the last few weeks in England, where Chain Reaction and Nuke Proof got into financial trouble. And
no, we like Nuke Proof.
So I think they're coming out the other side of it, but the Neutron wheels, again, they're older, but they're a set of aluminium hub, aluminium rims, and they're Neutron hubs. They're bomb-proof, built for the worst British weather, so they're low maintenance and I would say excellent, and not too noisy either with that tick 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 that some of them do.
Tick tick tick, boom. So I noticed that the drivetrain and brakes are all Shimano.
Yeah, and everything else we have is SRAM, and not for no other reason than when I built your bike during COVID, and that's all that was available.
Right.
And the Deviate has SRAM on it because I specified that, and then both the fat bikes have got SRAM components on them, both derailleurs, so both group sets. Mine has SRAM hydraulic brakes that never work properly. Yours has Tektro cable brakes that work 100% all the time, and they don't freeze or do anything weird. So having a bike that has Shimano components is not a big deal, but it does mean that the brake pads, we don't have the brake pads for it, we don't have the rotors for it, we don't have the, if we have to change the brake hoses, we don't have the brake hoses. Gear cables are fine, but the mechs aren't interchangeable. The cassette is not interchangeable. It's fine, but we're not a pro shop, not yet anyway, and I've tried to set it up so that we carry the minimum amount of stuff that we have to carry, so it's annoying, but it's not the end of the world. I would say the Shimano stuff is standing up to the bad weather pretty well though, so
well, that's good to hear.
Yeah,
so what forks or what fork is the Marin running?
So it's a RockShox Revelation, which is the basic air fork, or one of the basic air forks that RockShox make. It's slightly longer travel than normal, but it's the same fork as you run, actually. And again, you know, SRAM is RockShox. They make good forks. I have a very expensive Fox fork on my Deviate that has been serviced every year, because that's what the service intervals are. And if I don't service it after a year of riding it, it sounds like a muddy Wellington boot in the mud. It's like... and then... But the RockShox just go forever. Like yours, I mean, I was going to service it, but because the spring has started, because there wasn't really a winter, I never took it off and sent it away. It seems fine. I mean,
also, I didn't do very much riding last year.
True, but you did the year before, so that's 2 years of not servicing it. And it's... I look after them, right?
You do.
But my point is again, if you're listening to this thinking, I don't know what fork to buy, just buy a RockShox Revelation or something similar. Don't worry about buying the most expensive fork you can find. I just think you can get away with a lot of abuse on a RockShox, to be honest. So,
alrighty. So then, does it have a dropper post?
It does. They have a Spanish, I believe it's Spanish. It does have a dropper post. It's crap, to be honest.
Okay. So that was the first huge thumbs down.
And it's not Marin's fault. It was probably pandemic time when it was spec'd.
Good point.
We run Brand X dropper posts on almost everything else. your fat bike, your hardtail. And we had a bit of an issue with one of the dropper posts, but I put it back together and it works fine. We are one dropper post, which is okay. The reason that I don't like this dropper post is getting the tension spring rate right and the tightness of the seat clamp so that the seat doesn't drop. Basically, if I tighten the seat post clamp up too much, the dropper post won't work. To get the dropper post to work 100% all the time, the seat post drops slightly because the clamp's too loose. I've realised that maybe it's just the extreme cold we had, so maybe when it's cold it's not working properly. And I've also found out, and again, I've never done this before, I've always dropped the seat posts, leave them at the lowest level, because when I put them on the car we always have them low.
We do.
I've left this one halfway up. Since I've left it halfway up, it's never been a problem. So it's just quite temperamental. Hmm. If I was going to keep it, as soon as that dropper post is unworkable, it's going in the bin and I would buy a cheap, you know, whichever one, but anybody else's apart from theirs. I've tried RockShox, I've tried the expensive ones, I've tried the wireless ones, I've tried Fox, I've tried a lot. Raceface, you just better to spend $200, buy the cheapest one that's reasonable, ride it for years, look after it, and when it breaks, just buy another one. It's not worth spending hundreds of dollars on a dropper post.
Right.
In my opinion.
Anything else to add?
I feel like I've talked a lot, but when it came, first ride, bike shop supposedly serviced it. The bottom bracket was creaking and cracking and grinding, and so I put a nuke proof bottom bracket in. And just a side note for anybody else who's listening to this, the spacers, when I took it apart, and it was a bike shop, a Marin dealer that had put it all together, there was two spacers each side. And then I spoke to Nuke Proof, or to one of the service people, because I didn't know what to do. He, I believe, went to Marin and then came back to me and said, all the spacers are supposed to be on the same side. They're not supposed to be spread. So it'd been set up incorrectly. And then when I took the old bottom bracket out, the grease was, like, dry. It kind of flaked out, like it'd been left in the sun for days. So I put the new bottom bracket in, I put the spacers where they should be on the drive side, and it's been brilliant, no problems with all the wet and horrible weather. I'm just flagging this because, you know, there are great mechanics out there, but sometimes you do just have to ask a question or two, because it's not always right all the time. So.
Yeah, and people make mistakes too, right?
This was a bit of a weird one, but fair enough. Yeah.
But I, more so my point, I suppose, was, is to double check some certain things.
Yeah, I think if you're riding something and it creaks and you take it in and they go, no, it's fine, and you think, not sure, then contact the manufacturer of the component that you think is creaking. Just ask them, just send them an email and say, hi, got this problem, what do you think?
Jamie's the king of that.
And they, 9 times out of 10, they come back and tell you something you don't know. And actually, you can then go back to your bike shop and say, I'm not being difficult, but I've just spoken to these people. This is what they've said. Would you look at it for me, please? And if your bike shop's any good, they'll do it. If not, I can put you in touch with a couple of good mechanics.
Alrighty. So, you said that you don't like the head tube badge design.
No, Marin's badge used to be, and I had all the clothing to match.
Whoa.
It used to be the California Bear, the South California logo. Like, it was a bear, basically. A whole bear. And then they went to a bear's head, and now it's like a bear looking at a star, I think.
Oh.
The old logo was really cool.
I wonder what the story behind all that is and how it evolved to the bear star being stargazing.
I don't know if they just thought it needed updating. I mean, fair enough. But the thing is it was pretty hard to, you know, kind of come from what they were to what they are now. So it used to be like a bear in a star, and then they went to like a bear carrying a flag, I think, and then they had no bear, and then now they have a bear's head, which is not terrible, but
why don't I see the bear's head?
So
I'm bamboozled.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it's just a shame. Like, I, you know, it would almost put me off of buying a Marin.
Clearly we like little logos and icons and bears.
I just think the new one just is a bit strange. It's like,
oh, now I see.
Yeah, it's like a bear looking at a star.
I do wonder what the story behind that
is. And then that's what the old one was. Like, it was the proper...
I actually like the one with the flag.
Fair enough.
He's marching.
He is.
I wonder where he's going.
I don't know.
I bet you he's going to get lost in the forest.
Maybe.
Maybe he's looking for mushrooms.
He could be. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I just prefer the old logo. I probably have nice memories of the old logo.
Well, it does sound like it.
Just to say, before we move on to the Jessica's grand reveal, the other thing that Marin have done is they got Matt Jones on board, who's a slopestyle rider who developed the Alcatraz, and I think that'll quite a lot to do with the San Quentin as well. And they really do push this, like, bikes built for having fun. And, that you know, the San Quentin that we've got in the garage is the three. If you ride the one or the two, they're affordable. Like, they're not expensive. Like, it's the same frame, cheaper components, like I did in the old days. You ride it, you break it, buy new stuff, keep going. But you can get out on the trail for a good price with a good brand behind you, supported by good bike shops. So I think they're definitely worth a look, I would say.
I think that's a nice little summary right there. Very positive.
Yeah. Nothing. I've got nothing bad to say about it apart from the tropical post, and that wasn't their fault. So.
And the logo. The logo. The evolution of the bear logo.
I'm not the creative director for Marin, so who knows?
I do wonder what the story behind that is, though.
I wonder if maybe copyright thing. Anyway, if you stayed this long listening to me wibble on about mountain bikes, we did have a little bit of foraging success. Out at the old limestone hill, where we need more people to go, to be honest. But anyway,
I don't know how successful or unsuccessful this is going to be just yet.
Well, they're festering in the back of the car at the minute.
You mean drying out?
Baking in the back of the
car. Sunbathing. They're sunbathing away from the squirrels.
That's, unless they're chewing through the back of the car as we speak.
That could be an issue, eh? Huh.
We'll just take it back to Mitsubishi and go, I don't know how this happened. Can you fix it?
So I was on the hunt for black walnuts. And you don't have to hunt very, very hard. They are everywhere. Everywhere. But it seems quite a process from some of the reading that I have done. Multiple steps and not easy to get into these little suckers. So... and I do believe that the time to collect these would be in the fall, late fall, perhaps. However, it is not late fall. It is now early spring. And we are still seeing some shells or some nuts in the shells that have not been busted into or chewed into or cracked open by squirrels. So... I had collected just a small handful a few weeks back, and they were quite dry. They weren't wet and soggy and, you know, rotting. And that was a success. I got into those beauties. It was a bit of a process, which I'll explain another time. But they were very unique. Much different to a regular walnut. So, of course, I'm interested and I want more.
And I've been keeping an eye out when I've been riding. I've been looking for them because I know Jessica wanted some more, so...
Of course.
And I think I found some.
You did. And, yes, there's just so much more to the whole stages and and process, etc. But I guess this is just to say we're running a bit of an experiment at the minute, collecting these walnuts at not the correct time.
But they have not, they're not under the trees. They've been out. They've been out in full sun and full weather and don't appear to have been attacked by squirrels.
No, but my hunch is I do wonder if they have been hanging out in, you know, melted snow, etc., like, and gotten wet, and that they could be rotten inside. I do rancid. Not know. Rancid, yes. So, we'll see. It might be something to report. It might be a whole new walnut season.
We do. Anyway, I don't think there's much else to say, is there?
Other than?
Get lost.